Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we share the story of the new Las Vegas hotel that does not exist. It's truly one of the most bizarre stories we've ever shared. And a man fell into a thermal pool at Yellowstone and his body vaporized overnight. That and other strange tales next in the travel news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22, we'll update you on the latest hotel Wi-Fi hazards, and we have the rules for the hotel breakfast buffet. Hey, Mark, no cutting lines,
okay? Out of the way, dude. A special segment for international travelers at 11:35 features tips on phone plans and getting through customs easily. Reporter Clayton Whitehead is our guest.
Today's odds and ends at 11:50 features a Shake Shack airport kiosk that raises prices if you don't include a tip. I didn't believe it either, but we have the video online for you to see.
It's a day of really strange, offbeat travel stories, which is perfect for us because we've been described as strange and offbeat on more than one occasion. Welcome to The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, welcome, my friends, to Live and Living Radio. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Remember now, links to our special guests and lots of stuff to make you a smarter traveler featured right there at TravelGuysRadio.com. And a good Saturday morning to you, Mr. Mark.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for mentioning the website. There's a story we're going to do in the last segment today about a kiosk at a fast food restaurant that raised prices when people didn't tip. You absolutely won't believe it, but the video is online, so you can do your homework. You can watch it before it comes up if you wish. Anyway, how are you, Mr. Romano? What have you been up to this week?
I'm doing well. Still, my eyes are still trying to readjust. I went to the Harry Potter drone show out at Cal Expo at the racetrack. No horses out there anymore, so it's a little weird. But at any rate, they had it right there at the racetrack, right out on where the big pond used to be, and it was the most spectacular drone show. I'm not a huge Harry Potter fan per se, but it was extremely well done. If you get a chance to see one of that size, suggest you do it.
Wow. I have a good buddy who is a huge Harry Potter fan, and I did not know about this, so maybe he caught it. We'll hope
well,
so.
I hope so.
It sounds pretty cool. Like, how many drones were there? I mean,
There were 1,200 drones.
Holy crap.
1,200 drones, and they recreated all the major characters and events and stuff from the Harry Potter movies, and they are so real and so cool the way that they do that. It just boggles your mind because most people, you know, would have no idea exactly how that's done. And the place was full. It was
really
jam-packed. I mean, it reminded me of the old days back in the 70s when they had harness racing with 10,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
There.
God, we could go down that rabbit hole. It would take me the whole hour. How much did the show cost?
It was for the premium seats were $60, for the slightly cheaper seats were $50, kids were $30, under three were free.
So this was not a $5 item. This was a first class thing.
It was. They made a boatload.
It sounds like though that you felt like that it was that there was value in the money that you spent.
Absolutely. It lasted probably close to an hour. It even had a little 15-minute intermission. All right, my friend, we got lots of stuff to cover here today. I see a lot of travel news just ahead of me. So with that being said, at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with it, Mr. Travel News Guy himself, Mark Hoffman.
Hey, it has been, those of us who live on the West Coast, we forget about in the summertime what a crapshoot travel on the East Coast is. And this summer, with the even hotter weather in streaks, and they're going to have one early next week. God, I got a flight to Pittsburgh a week from Monday, so I'm hoping this will all go away before that comes up. But anyways, a lot of flight delays and a lot of cancellations. And you know how we talk here, smarter traveler, really and truly one of the best pieces of wisdom I can give you is, yeah, get out of bed at 2:30 in the morning and take the 5 o'clock to Denver. Because honest to God, your connection will be on time and you'll get where you're going. And when you turn around to come home from the other side, we're doing this with many of our Sports Leisure Vacations groups. We used to spend most of the day in our destination and then start for home. You know, we'd head to the airport at 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon and catch a 5 o'clock flight to come home. And we'd get in with a time change. We'd get into Sacramento, you know, 9-10 o'clock at night. And boy, I'm just really cautious about doing that anymore, because you get to a middle of the country airport at 6-7 o'clock at night, and more often than not, things have backed up. Or it may not be that airport that's backed up, but wherever your flight is coming from, or if your plane touched Chicago three times during the day, you're just screwed. I mean, just forget it. There's no chance of you getting home on time. Almost 10,000 flight delays last week. 9,800, and they're still counting the ones from last night. So 1,400 canceled flights. Wow. And Eastern Canada was just really a catastrophic place in terms of cancellations and stuff. So when you're thinking about traveling in the summer, the point of all this is, if you're thinking about traveling in the summer, don't let your mind think just West Coast weather. Because if you're going to Boston, then, and same thing, when you're coming back home, think about coming home a little bit later. Maybe take that 2 o'clock bank of flights, or that 11 o'clock bank of flights in the morning, so that you're not quite as late coming home, so that you get home, which is kind of a critical thing. Anyways, sorry that went on so long. Business travel is up this year, first half of this year, 13.5%. So this is one reason the airlines that have raised prices a lot this year are able to keep those price increases intact, is because business travel is up dramatically. Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam says the new border controls are causing 1 to 2 hour waits. Europe has a new entry system. If you don't have an EU passport, which of course most Americans do not, and you're trying to get in and out of European countries, there's a new system. I won't go into it in great detail, but it hasn't been performing well for a couple of months. The problem started about the time I was in Amsterdam in early June, and it's been a catastrophe. It's taking 1 to 2 hours for people to clear customs inbound and outbound. So remember that if you're traveling overseas, that you might run into something that you're not expecting just getting out of the airport. So don't schedule things too tight, or make sure you can communicate with whomever is picking you up at the airport or something like that, whether it be Frankfurt or wherever it is that you're headed overseas. Speaking of overseas flying, KLM, which is also Air France, cuts free food and drinks in economy to, quote, strengthen the warm and hospitable experience. The point of this little ditty here is that businesses and airlines have gotten to be really good at this. The U.S. airlines did this earlier in the year, Tom. They cut out some snacks and things on flights that were, 45 minutes to an hour. And they told us it was to enhance the travel experience. And then on flights of an hour to 2 hours, they cut out, stronger snacks. And they said, oh, well, you can buy on board. Now you have an amazingly great choice of crappy food that you can get in the sky. And that's overpriced, I might add. But nonetheless, so KLM has cut out. In Europe, it has been customary to serve, in fact, meals on flights that were like an hour and a half. I mean, the flight crew had to hustle, and the food was, airplane questionable quality, but still you got fed. And so U.S., it's never been like that. But now European airlines are cutting out the more upscale service that they've had, and they're going to just snacks and beverages. They used to serve free beer and wine on short European flights, so that's going away too. And KLM is saying it calls it an enhancement, and it says, where is it here? Wait a minute, there's a BS line here somewhere that made me kind of sort of want to gag. Let's see. The next step in enhancing the European travel experience.
Yeah.
So we're taking away all the free stuff. You're going to pay for stuff from now on, but it enhances your travel experience.
Oh, absolutely.
God, AI at work. Let's see here. What else have we got? Con Air. This is kind of a cool story. Delta Flight 591 from Vegas to Atlanta on Monday reportedly encountered a suspected Wi-Fi attack. The culprits? This is funny. Passengers returning from DEF CON 34, a global hackers convention held in Las Vegas last week. According to an internal message sent by the flight deck to ground staff, we have a bunch of passengers who are at a cyber conference. They were able to jam our Wi-Fi and broadcast their signal.
Oh, man. There you go.
I think that's kind of cool. U.S. Airways are not doing this, but Nippon Airways of Japan is lowering the fuel surcharge on flights to and from North America. It's going down roughly 20% from $407 to $345 for tickets issued in September and October. So at least one airline somewhere on the planet is being fair to its customers. Hint, hint, Delta, American, United, Southwest. This is a cool story, too. This is about the hotel in Las Vegas that does not exist.
And you're not talking about the brand new Hard Rock that is two-thirds of a guitar right now.
No, I'm not. This is actually the old Hooters Hotel. If you know your Las Vegas geography, I think Hooters was on the south end of the strip. So this has changed hands a couple times since it was Hooters. But if you're an old fart and you know that stuff, why then Hooters? This is the old Hooters Hotel. It's now called the Oyo, O-Y-O, which is a chain, an international chain of hotels that doesn't have a particularly good reputation for cleanliness and all of that kind of jazz. This particular hotel, there are 260 hotels in Las Vegas. This one is ranked 240th. So it's not something that you would, you know, tell mom about either. If you go online, you can book this hotel, but you can also find a hotel called the Palette, P-A-L-E-T-T-E, hotel. And what has happened here is that the owners of the Oyo Hotel, probably because of the crappy ratings that they have online, have substituted a new hotel for their hotel. The Palette, when you see it online, they have AI'd all of the signs so that the different name of the hotel that doesn't exist appear in all the pictures online. A lady who made a reservation at the hotel related that she got to Las Vegas and she's looking for the hotel and she can find the address, but there's a different name on the front of the hotel. And she's just confused. She drives around the block. And of course, around the block in Las Vegas is like 20 minutes. She drives around the block several times. Finally, she gets out of her car at this place with the right address and she goes up and asks the bellman or the guy who's doing the valet parking, you know, where does this place exist? And the guy says, oh, that's actually here. It's an advertising thing that we're doing. So that hotel is actually our hotel, but there's no signage anywhere that would indicate that. How bizarre is that?
So the Oyo was actually this other hotel, but it had no signage.
The Oyo is the Oyo, but they have changed signage online to sell you a different hotel, which doesn't actually exist. That can't possibly be legal, can it? I mean, I don't know. But anyway,
anything in Vegas is legal.
That from Mr. Vegas himself. Anything is legal. Anyway, if you go to the Palette Hotel in Las Vegas, just be careful because it's not really a new hotel. It's just a crappy old hotel that they're trying to mislead you on. The feds are getting ready to scrap a rule that requires airlines to disclose airfares in full. I say this because the decision is coming down next week, and nothing in the last 2 years has come out of the Department of Transportation that favors consumers. So it's very likely that they are going to overturn. For several years, we've had a rule where airlines have to tell you, these are the taxes, these are whatever fees, these are not baggage fees, but everything else. Here is the actual cost of the ticket. It's not $379, it's actually $492. So what's going to happen is that rule is going to revert to the way it used to be, and they will be able to use loss leader type things and mislead consumers online. We'll give you a heads up when it happens so you will know. Canadians are increasing their cross-border travel. They're coming over the border more often by car. You know, travel fell off 15-20% last year. Now that's about a third of that has come back on the ground, but by air, not so much. Canadians are still not traveling by air to the United States. In fact, those numbers are getting bigger, not smaller as time goes on. And another little Canadian news thing here. If you wondered what plans, frequent flyer plans are worth, frequent traveler plans at hotels, you belong to some of those, don't you, Tom?
Yes, I do, sort of.
Yeah, if you wonder what these are worth, these little things, you know, United's Mileage Plus and stuff, Air Canada sold 25% of Aeroplan, which is their mileage plan, for $2.5 billion. So that values that plan from Air Canada, which would not be as big as some of the U.S. carriers, at $10 billion. That's billion with a B. There's so many tourists in Rome this summer, and it is so damn hot that they extended the visitor hours to the Colosseum. If you're headed to Rome in the next month, the Colosseum is now open until 11 o'clock in order to encourage visitors to defer visits from during the heat of the day. A couple of tourism people have said, if you've never been in the Colosseum after dark, it's incredibly cool. So do not go during the day. This is a one-time opportunity. So if you're going to Rome and the Colosseum is on your agenda, it's possible that the heat may be creating some evening hours, and that would be maybe when you would go. All right, last story here from the travel news. This is just about like the hotel in Vegas that doesn't exist, and then we've still got the restaurant where the prices change on the kiosk when you don't tip. That's coming later on. But this is about the guy who went to Yellowstone. He bent over. He and his girlfriend got off the beaten track. They thought they were going to go hot tubbing in one of the thermal pools in Yellowstone.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's it. Let me just explain. That's not a good idea.
That's not something you can do.
No, those pools are hotter than you would care. I mean, they will scorch
Hades.
You, as this gentleman found out. He bent over to stick his fingers into the pool. We had some people in Washington, D.C. that just got themselves in a lot of trouble. But anyway, he was testing the pool to see if the one they had found would be acceptable for
suitable.
Him and his girlfriend. He slipped and he fell. The areas around those pools are very damp. And the ground is not very solid at all, so you get within 15, 20 feet of one, you could easily slide into one. Anyway, this guy fell into one of the thermal pools, and it was incredibly hot water. It toasted him, basically. Before they could get help, it toasted him. So the guy's remains are floating in the water, and they're trying to get him out of the water, and whatever has happened, and he's not close to the edge anymore. And remember, the rescuers don't want to fall in themselves. So, and this guy's already gone. So they're like, all right, we'll come back in the morning with some better equipment and we'll retrieve the body. Yeah, I know. But anyways, this is the R-rated portion of the program. They come back in the morning to get the body and it's gone. His flip-flops, his wallet, and a couple of other things are floating on the surface of the water, and that's it. He's gone. The acidity in the pool overnight has dissolved his body. Now, they didn't say if his bones were laying on the bottom of the pool or not, but I mean, wow. Talk about having a bad day.
I should say, that's really, that's what you'd call not doing your homework. On a really, really high level, to think that there are spas or hot tubs or pools that you can get in at Yellowstone. It's not happening. And I thought you always check the water with your toe.
23-year-old from Oregon. So, this guy basically, the next day he was just not even there anymore. It's because the sulfuric acid And there's a lot of microorganisms, but I just have never heard of a story like that before.
Well, hopefully we won't hear about another one anytime soon.
That's your travel news for today.
And we are the travel and Gory Entertainment guys.
Yeah, wasn't that entertaining?
Yeah, there we go. Smarter Traveler segment coming up. Stick around right here because we've got more good stuff just ahead. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, we are the Travel and Entertainment guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Got some good stuff here before we get to the bottom of the hour. Some upbeat stuff and some not upbeat stuff. Where do we
begin?
Anything
worse than a guy getting vaporized at Yellowstone?
I can't think of anything.
Okay, all right. Following
into a piranha tank, maybe. I don't know.
What do you mean, a piranha tank?
Yeah, piranha.
Okay, listen, let's do the serious one first, and then we'll go to the breakfast buffet rules. This is about hotels. This has come up before, but this one comes from a tech guy who says this is kind of serious. Some Russian hackers, they have a name here. We won't go into all of that. But anyway, has targeted Wi-Fi systems at hotels and conference centers around the world. They have been successful in replacing the home pages, apparently, in several dozen big city hotels and several conference centers. So what happens is that you go to log into the Wi-Fi at the Hilton, and you think, you know, the page comes up on your computer, and you're like, you type in your password, and you connect to the internet, except that wasn't the Hilton's homepage. That was a homepage that somebody duplicated and put up there, and now they have the password to your internet account, and you don't even know it. And apparently the duplicates now are becoming so good that the hotels have got their security people working on an additional layer of login information that users will have to provide in order to get into their accounts, just so that they can try to keep there from being has become a fairly big problem. So the deal is, when you're staying in a hotel, you're in an airport, something like that, and you innocuously connect to their Wi-Fi system, just know that that's not going to be real high, heavy security, and that you need to be aware of the fact that you're really taking a risk. So don't check your bank balance or log into your credit card account or something like that when you're on one of those Wi-Fi systems. Because the risk there is really legit. And so keep it to emails and things that you can't get hurt on. The other thing to remember is you can use your cell phone as a Wi-Fi tower in almost every instance. And if you don't know how to do that, ask the youngest person in your family and they'll be able to tell, they'll show you. You can go into settings on your phone and there's a way to turn your phone into a Wi-Fi tower so that you don't need the hotel's Wi-Fi or the conference center's Wi-Fi, and in most cases you can connect, and it's a lot safer. If you've already got encryption on the stuff that comes in and out of your phone, why then you're even safer. But anyway, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, ask somebody who does. But when you're using public Wi-Fi, especially in hotels and conference centers around the country, I'm about to go to Pittsburgh, stay in a big hotel, go to a big conference, and so this is important to me. I will use the hotspot on my phone rather than do this other jazz and maybe get in trouble. Okay, so that's the serious one. Here's the not as serious one. This has to do with rules for the breakfast buffet. You know, you go to the Hampton Inn and you get into the buffet line and it's total chaos and things are all over the place, but there are actually some rules, and if more people followed these, it probably would go better. First rule to the breakfast buffet.
Okay.
Wash your hands.
Oh, please.
I'm usually just out of the shower, right, when I'm headed to the breakfast buffet, so that's not one that I'm too concerned about. But if you're headed to a buffet for lunch or dinner and you just came out of the car off the street or something like that, maybe perhaps washing your hands, you're going to handle all those utensils and all that stuff, might not be a bad idea. For breakfast, make it a no PJ zone. You know, it's become fashionable to wear these things that in many cases are not pajamas, but they look like them on airplanes and the stuff. I'm sure for some people they actually are pajamas. But don't get out of bed and wear what you wore to bed down to the breakfast buffet in the morning. put on something clean or slip on some sweatpants or something like that, maybe. Just so you look
I thought little... you, PG, I thought you were talking about no peanut butter and jelly or something.
Watch the kids. If you've got kids with you and you're going through the buffet, take the kids with you. In many cases, small kids can't even see what they're ladling onto their plate. So if you've got kids, don't let them run ragged through the buffet at the Hampton. Don't touch the food. You know, use the tongs. Don't reach in and take a pastry or a muffin or, you know, something like that or worse. Use the tongs. They're there for a reason. COVID is not as big of a deal now, but still. You know, if you're at the waffle station at the Hampton and you really would like three waffles and there's four people in line behind you, just get one and come back. Don't hog the waffle machine. This, yeah, believe it or not, is a problem at some Hampton hotels. don't cross-contaminate. Eggs have their own serving tools. Potatoes have theirs. Sausage has theirs. Don't mix them up. Just, you know, because some people have allergies and things like that. So it may not be a big deal for you, but it might be for them.
Good. Good advice. Yes. Yeah, okay. I follow all of those rules.
You would be surprised how many people do not. I mean,
well, here's the thing, and this is what gets me, and there's not much you can do about it. If you're staying at a hotel that there's a lot of parents with children, mm-hmm, they just turn their children loose on the buffet, okay, and they're all the things that you said are happening, but the parents just don't see, they're impervious to it. So if anything, you know, control your children at the buffet. Let's add that one to the mix.
Yeah, no, I really and truly, thinking of the last Embassy Suites I was in with the free breakfast in the morning, yeah. No eating in line. Please, maybe wait until you get back to your table. Don't, you know, grab, just because you took four sausages, don't shove two of them down your throat while you're still in line. That's tacky. Do tidy up your table. At a breakfast buffet, it is common, you know, you don't have to wipe the table down, but, you know, pick up whatever garbage that you can, especially if you can look around the room and see space is tight, because when you get up and leave, somebody else is probably going to sit there and somebody may not wipe the table down in between. So doggy bags are okay.
Yeah.
If it's food that, you unintentionally, you know, didn't eat all of, but don't go up to the counter and put four muffins in your purse or four croissants or something like that, because that's not considered to be appropriate behavior. Tips are appreciated, but not expected. I put tipping the people who are cleaning the buffet tables in the same category as the housekeepers at the hotel. They're at the bottom of the rung. They don't get opportunities to get tipped. They're doing the crappiest work that anybody can do. If they smile at you in the morning and your table is clean and they seem like nice people and you leave a couple bucks there on your table at the end, you will be a hero. Trust me. You can buy a lot of kindness for a couple of bucks. Anyway, those are some tips about things that you can do next time you find yourself in a hotel with a free breakfast buffet.
We are the Travel Guys, and as promised, Clayton Whitehead joins us. We're going to talk international travel, phone plans, and getting through customs, all of that and more. Coming up next, right here with the Travel Guys.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
Month in late September, if you have not already registered, you need to do so. If you're a sports leisure traveler, we have about 500 people registered already, and we only have about 600 spaces. It's on Sunday, September the 27th at the Sophia, the B Street Theater at 2700 Capitol Avenue. There are 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. sessions. Admission is $10, which is all donated to local charities. The free shuttle buses to get you to the Sophia downtown are already, the space is already spoken for, but you can come down. It's a Sunday, so there won't be a lot of traffic downtown. There's very inexpensive parking located just around the corner from the theater. Come and join us. Get a copy of our new catalog. Find out what Sports Leisure Vacations is doing with escorted tours in and cruises in 2027. That's Sunday, September the 27th. You can get reservations by giving us a call at Sports Leisure Vacations at 916-361-2051. That's 916-361-2051, or go to sportsleisure.com and you can register online.
It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for dialing us in. Remember, links to our guests can be found at travelguysradio.com. Time to bring back and join us here on the Travel Guys, Clayton Whitehead, roving reporter, part of the Travel Guys as well, and basically is our international guy. Mark likes to do the Americas, and Clayton likes to do that and any place over the pond. So we're here to make you a smarter traveler if you travel international. Specifically, what are we going to cover today, Mark?
Well, there are a couple of subjects here that are, I think, of importance to most people who travel internationally. The first is international phone plans. You know, how do you get in touch with people back across the pond, or how do you use your phone to connect to the internet while you are out of the country overseas and do it in somewhat of a cost-efficient manner? And then we're going to talk a little bit about customs agents and crossing through the border. Europe has a new way of getting from one country to another, kind of a passport control sort of thing. So, and Clayton does a lot of international stuff. So we will find out his expertise and what we need to know about these subjects. Welcome, Mr. Clayton.
Thanks, Mark and Tom. Great to be here.
So, international phone plans. When you go internationally traveling, on my phone just about every day pops up a little thing that says, you know, someone has, because I guess I'm the master person on the Sports Leisure account, and tells me that somebody has signed up for an international travel plan for the next 24 hours, and it will cost so much money. And so every time you do that when you're overseas, and I know, oh, well, Clayton's got his phone on, and this would be a good day if I need to call him or text him or something like that. So for folks who are headed over the pond or just out of the country, period, and want to be able to use their phone, is that a complicated procedure?
Generally speaking, no. What I tell my clients that travel with me internationally is it's probably not a question of whether or not your phone will work. It's if you want it to work. And more specifically, if you're willing to pay the freight. Of course, there's also the fact that we're 6, 8, 10, 12, 22 time zones away. So do you really want to be getting calls in what is for us now the middle of the night, but is for somebody else the middle of the day? Certainly back in the day, there was a time when a number of phones, a number of servers, a number of hardware, software, whatever, didn't work so well in foreign countries, especially if you were getting into less common foreign countries, you know, a little bit more adventurous travel. At this time, assuming you've got a phone that is relatively modern and up to date, really and truly the question isn't whether it will work, but just if you want to. And I'm kind of old school about that. I live near a Verizon store. Verizon is my carrier. So whenever I'm about to go somewhere, I'll just walk down there with my phone in hand and say, hey, guys, I'm about to go to Lithuania. I'm about to go to Portugal. I'm about to go to New Zealand. What do I need to know? What's it going to cost me?
So how do you make this happen? Assuming that most of the people listening don't have a Verizon store down the street where they can walk to.
For sure.
So they're staying there looking at their phone and they're leaving for London tomorrow.
Okay. I'm super low tech. So this is how I turn my phone off. I put it on airplane mode.
Okay.
Now my clock still works. Still know what time it is. I can still use it as an alarm clock. I can still take photos. And when I'm in a place with Wi-Fi or Wi-Fi, as the rest of the world says it, I can log on and I can get on social media and do all sorts of things.
So are you saying that in some foreign countries, you don't need a phone plan, that you can just turn your phone on and make a call to the United States? And
if your phone is relatively modern, your phone will probably work wherever you are. But you need to know by going into your store or getting online or calling somebody on an 800 number, you need to know what it's going to cost you because, you know,
so this
before
is
you buy something, you need to know what it costs.
So this is the big factor is that you go to London and you turn your phone on and you dial a number in the States and it connects and you talk to somebody for 5 minutes. But because you did not sign up for an international calling plan, you have no idea what the dice rolled against the wall, what that call is going to end
up
costing.
Exactly. And another thing is, if your phone is on, you know, if it is engaged, if it's connected to the satellite, if it's not on airplane mode, then you're using data even when you're not physically using your phone, because your phone is always searching for that satellite
right.
And it's updating. And that's where I know a lot of people have gotten into trouble. They think, oh, I'm not using my phone. It's not costing me anything. But if your phone is engaged, you are using it, so to speak.
So the bottom line smarter traveler recommendation to this is you're looking for an international, if you're going to use your phone overseas or outside of the country, you're looking for an international calling plan, most likely, mm-hmm. and you're going to want to contact your carrier and say, this is where I'm going and how long I'm going to be there and what I'm going to use my phone for. So what is my best option?
Absolutely. I mean, let's face it. Everybody at the Verizon store is a salesman. So it's their job to know the answers to these questions or to find somebody who does.
Right.
So let them do their jobs.
And every carrier, not just Verizon, has these international calling
for sure.
options because they're a way for them to enhance revenue.
Our special guest here on the Travel Guys today, road reporter and international traveler Clayton Whitehead.
All right, let's shift gears for a moment to our second subject here and talk a little bit about getting through customs. Now, you're a man who has to not only get through customs yourself, do you have some sort of expedited customs? Are you?
There's this wonderful thing called Global Entry.
Okay.
That helps you to get back into the United States. You've gone through a lot of additional scrutiny. And you have better clearances, so you get through faster. The thing is, 90% of the time when I'm going through an international customs, I'm with a group of 20 or 30 people. And if I take that path and I get through all fast, what if one of my clients is having an issue? Mm-hmm. You know, what if someone needs me? I just choose not to separate from my groups.
Right.
So I'll go through the regular line with them, and either it moves fast or it moves slow, usually the latter, but we're all together. And if anybody has an issue, I'm with them.
So I've got a Travelers United document here that gives some tips. It says, declare everything you want to bring home with you. Declare all food to customs agents. Declare gifts as part of your exemption. Report currency when you're carrying $10,000 or more. And then it goes on to say, it talks about traveling with medication and things like that. But it also gives some wisdom to people about don't go volunteering a bunch of information. Answer questions that are asked of you and be polite and don't try to get into a life's history conversation with the customs officer. Are those all good things?
Oh, my gosh. That is like the number one thing I tell people.
Yeah.
This is not the time for joking. This is not the time for storytelling. It's just a time to be pleasant. I always give them a big smile when I walk up. I wait for them to ask the questions because that's their job. And I give them short, concise answers. I don't editorialize. I don't go down rabbit holes because there's a line of 100 people or more behind me that are in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a hurry before I got there. So, you know, you just want to keep it going along. And for sure, you don't want to lie. Generally speaking, sometimes I get people that are abundantly honest, like it says, do you have any food? And they're traveling with, you know, a box of chocolates they bought in Switzerland. And they, yes, and yes, and yes. And then they end up in the agricultural line and then we're all waiting for them to get through. And that's not the intent of the agricultural line, not a box of chocolates, you know? So, you know, I try to advise people, yes, you want to be honest, but you don't want to cause problems where there aren't any. The intent of asking you if you've visited a farm or have food is for them to keep like bugs and germs and bad things out of America that might, you know, restrict our agriculture or have a negative impact on our agriculture. A box of Toblerone from Switzerland is not in that category, even though legally, I guess you could say it's food.
Yes, they're not after Forrest Gump's chocolates.
They are not.
So what are, we've talked about some don'ts. Is there anything that you should do in preparation for passing through customs? Either outbound to another country or, and let me give you a sidebar question. Is it harder to get through into another country or harder to get back into the U.S.?
Oh, it's so much harder to get back into the U.S. Yeah. Getting out of our country is a joy. Getting back in is especially the ground border crossings, like when you're coming down from Canada or up from Mexico. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, they've got hard jobs. I don't mean to be critical of something that isn't my world and that I don't know a whole lot about. I mean, I think we look like a pretty honest crowd of people. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to get over the border so we can fly home. And, you know, sometimes they make you get every single thing off the bus and all the people and all the bags. And gosh, one time at a border crossing from Canada down to Niagara, it was at Niagara, actually, I had a lady who had a banana, but the banana didn't have a sticker on it. So, friends, if you like traveling with bananas, you can only bring a banana across the border into America if it has a sticker on it that says Del Monte or whatever.
Yeah.
If you have a stickerless banana, then you're going to be in the agricultural doghouse. Be sure you have a sticker on your banana.
Okay. There's a lot of places that could go.
I know.
We probably shouldn't go there. All right. Do you have any other last minute tips for folks who are, we talked about phones and about how to get your banana through customs. Is there any last minute things that come to mind here about that process that you'd like to share?
When these crazy things happen, just laugh it off because it's part of the international experience, you know, and seeing the rest of the world is worth losing a banana. So just laugh it off and keep on trucking because if you get into a fight with a customs agent, you're not going to win.
Well, there you go. Our special guest today, international traveler Clayton Whitehead with Sports Leisure Vacations. Okay, folks. Make sure you got your banana has a sticker.
I'm not sure we can discuss the banana thing in great detail without being thrown off the air and the whole sticker thing and stuff like that. But thank you, Clayton, for all of that great information.
It's a pleasure.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, is a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good, and it could be again. Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
A little piece of James Earl Jones' speech about baseball from the Field of Dreams. And this last week, they played a baseball game on the Field of Dreams Thursday night. The Twins and the Phillies in Iowa, in a field with a cornfield behind part of the outfield, of which a couple dozen Hall of Famers walked out of before the game started. It was amazing. And the most amazing thing about the whole thing, and the reason I chose that little clip to play today, is if you build it, they will come, was a concept in a movie. And guess what happened? People went. People came to the Field of Dreams. Now it's a big baseball complex. They're going to play a major league game there, it looks like, into the future. They've committed at least for the next couple of years. And so the whole thing in the movie of if you build it, they will come is exactly what happened. They built it and people go to Iowa just to see the Field of Dreams. If you've never been there and you're a baseball fan, go see it.
It's not like it appeared exactly in the movie, but it's still worth going to see. 7,000 people were lucky enough to be able to be in attendance for that game Thursday night. I wish I had been one of them.
It's one of those films that when you hear a clip or you happen to scanning your TV and you run across it, it's almost impossible to not want to sit and just keep watching because it was such a compelling film and so well done and magical.
Not just about baseball, but about Iowa and cornfields and a whole piece of American culture that we in the middle of the country that sometimes we overlook. And being a guy who is from Iowa. And so anyways, it's just I it's so cool. And they did such a good job with the whole thing. Major League Baseball did. So congratulations. And to baseball fans, it was a small piece, a special piece of the summer. Hey, this story is beyond bizarre, and I cannot wait for a follow-up. I've been scanning all of my news feeds and everything to see if anybody has responded yet. This is now 2 days old. A Shake Shack customer was in a – they were in the Salt Lake City airport. His wife goes up to the Shake Shack counter to the kiosk and tries to order three milkshakes, one of them with whipped cream. And when she – and then a tip screen comes up. Remember, this is a kiosk now. You're not even interacting with a person. The screen asks her if she wants to tip. The minimum thing was, I think, 18%. Anyway, she hit no. And when she hit no, a sign came up that said, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Some of the – at least one of the prices in your order has been recalculated. You want to look at that. And as soon as that – she as soon as she hits okay – the screen comes up, and every item on the screen, every one of the three milkshakes, has gone up 50 cents from the price.
Auto tip.
Yes. Yes. Good line. I like that. Auto tip. So she goes back and tells her husband, and he says, like most husbands say, honey, I think you've lost your mind. That's not actually what happened. I'm sure that you did something wrong. He goes back up to the machine with her, this time cell phone in hand. This is all recorded. You can see this at travelguysradio.com under highlights for today. It says click here for the article under the highlights for today's show, and you'll be able to see this video. It's a couple minutes long. And indeed, he goes back with his wife. This is the airport now in Salt Lake City. They make the same, put the same order under the screen. The same thing happens. Ask them if they want to leave a tip. When it says, when they say no, it comes up and says, oh, well, your things have been repriced. You'll want to check this out. And indeed, everything is repriced 50 cents higher. So to Shake Shack for pulling that crap on people in the Salt Lake airport. And it means now pay attention because these kiosks and stuff, maybe indeed you may be getting the DoorDash treatment in the airport or wherever it is that you are because you chose not to tip. In this case, the machine penalized you. Don't use Shake Shack. That's what this is telling you, is that these folks are taking your money when you're not looking. But anyway, go to travelguysradio.com and you can see, I didn't believe it myself, but it's right there. And I don't think it's an AI thing. It looks pretty legit to me. This guy went up with his wife to the counter and tried to buy the product.
What would have happened if they would have decided to go ahead and do a tip? Would the prices stay the same? Or would they go down 50 cents an item? They didn't try that part. See, I would have been compelled to take it one step further.
Yeah.
And I would, excuse me, ended up with six milkshakes.
Probably
that I didn't really want
two of them with whipped cream. Anyways, that's just in a week of bizarre stories, people, you know, melting away at Yellowstone and hotels that aren't really hotels in Las Vegas. I thought that an appropriate thing for the last segment here. A machine that automatically raises prices when you don't tip. Quickly here, Nevada Railroad Museum, a brand new one, is opening. They're opening a visitor center. This is in Boulder City, Nevada. So you've got to go to Southern Nevada down Las Vegas way on the way to Laughlin. But Nevada State Railroad Museum, if you are a train buff, this looks pretty cool. It opens on the 19th of September. It's a $25 million museum that took two years to build. They have train rides on Saturdays and Sundays, except in the heat of the summer. They have a Halloween Express. Anyway, if you're a train buff, and there are a lot of train buffs on the planet, a brand new cool railroad museum in Southern Nevada. As soon as I get there, I will come back and tell you about it. Thomas, you have a story about a really cool, you know, not everything on this show has to do 100% with travel, about a really cool bald eagle down at Big Bear.
Yeah, you know, I think millions of people followed Jackie and Shadow at Big Bear Lake. They had propped a camera up in the tree, went 24/7 so people could look. And even in the seasons when they're not eggs, the camera was active. But millions upon millions of people had been following these eagles year in and year out. The latest pair was Jackie and Shadow. And Jackie, she had several broods. She laid multiple eggs, and the last couple both hatched, and both fledglings have left the nest. But last week, about 3 weeks ago, Jackie fell ill. She had left the nest and got into a scuffle with some other eagles. And the people that watch this, they keep an eye on what's going on. And they found Jackie, and they rescued her. And 3 weeks of really intense care. But they lost her last on the 10th, which I think was Monday. And so, you know, a lot of sad folks right now. I mean, you would think that there was you'd lost a president almost. But, you know, farewell to Jackie, and good luck to Shadow. And
wow.
we certainly enjoyed and enjoyed what they brought to the world.
What a cool story. I mean, and you know, some people who don't have pets, you know, their pets are people like Jackie and Shadow online.
Right, right.
All right, that wraps it up here for a very different Travel Guys radio show.